Hey everyone, welcome to TKS Innovators episode 5. My name is Naveed and I'm the executive director of the Knowledge Society, TKS, where we develop young people to solve the world's most important problems using emerging technologies and sciences. And today I'm with Sabarish Nyanamurthy, and he's a 14-year-old student who is working with augmented reality and virtual reality. Sabarish, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Naveed.
All right, so something big recently happened. Can you tell us about your invitation to AWE and what that's all about?
So AWE is the Augmented World Expo, and I got invited to keynote on the main stage, and I'm going to be talking more about the future of augmented reality and virtual reality in my perspective, how it's going to look in the future, and what's wrong with virtual and augmented reality.
So how many people are going to be at this conference?
So it's going to be around 6,000 people and more.
You're going to be talking to 6,000 people?
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
When I think about it right now, it looks pretty... I'm pretty nervous, but I'm confident in my knowledge about virtual reality and augmented reality, so I think I'm going to do pretty well.
Like, how do you stop yourself from freaking out at the thought of speaking in front of 6,000 people as a 14-year-old?
I mean, I'm passionate about VR and AR, which is virtual and augmented reality, and just because of that, I'm confident about what I'm speaking, and it's a good opportunity for me to get out there, talk to more people, and it'll find me more opportunities, and that's really why I'm excited, and it motivates me to go speak on that stage, just because of the opportunities and the learning experience of speaking in front of that many people about something I'm passionate about.
That's awesome. So I just kind of want to rewind a little bit for the audience here. Let's talk about how you even got started with VR. How long has it been since, you know, you got exposed to virtual and augmented reality?
So right now it's been under a year, and it's pretty amazing how far TKS, the Knowledge Society, has brought me. TKS, how I got exposed to VR and AR was through TKS, and we do these awesome presentations, and they expose us to these new technologies, and through this I came upon VR and AR, and I thought it was super interesting, especially augmented reality, because of how applicable it is for our everyday lives, and it just... It's a cool technology, and I wanted to learn more about it, build something, and I wanted to make a change in the world with augmented reality, and that's where it started.
So help us understand, what's the difference between virtual reality and augmented reality?
So virtual reality is basically creating a whole new digital world, meaning you won't be seeing this world at all, and you'll be using these VR headsets to immerse yourself in a completely new world. Augmented reality is adding new digital 3D objects into your environment to enhance your environment. So a quick example can be when you're navigating around locations and you want to see different annotations of what these locations are. For example, you're walking across a restaurant. You want to know their ratings. You want to know customer reviews. So what augmented reality can do is it can use location-based tracking to pop up these annotations as you walk past these places. And this is just a simple example of what augmented reality can do for you. And there's so many more opportunities with it in the future.
Cool. So let's talk about some of the hardware right now and where we're at. So, you know, we got the Oculus, we got the HTC. Can you talk a little bit about some of the hardware you've used for virtual reality, where we're at today, and kind of where are the areas for improvement, let's just say?
So right now for virtual reality, the headsets that exist, so the first one's the Google Cardboard, and that's for a very basic experience, and this allows for you to just experience VR for your first time, and the maximum amount you can go through this experience is 2 minutes before you get bored. And then the next step is premium mobile VR, which is the Gear VR and the Daydream, and both of these headsets are at another level. They provide 3 degrees of freedom, meaning you would be able to stand in one spot, turn around, and you would also be able to have a controller in your hand, which would enhance your experience. So that's the next step. Then there's a headset, it's theatered VR, and what this is basically the headsets are connected directly to your laptop or computer, and what it can do with this is it allows for a more immersive experience because of the computational power of your PC, and this allows for your experience to be more immersive, and it comes with 6 degrees of freedom, which is allowing you to move around your space, which adds a new dimension to VR itself.
So you said something interesting. It connects to your computer because of the computational power. So do you think that one of the big areas right now where we need to improve is around computational power, specifically like Is it the GPU? What areas do you think we need to spend time in to be able to not need to hook up to a laptop and just kind of have a freestanding headset with high quality?
Yeah, so it'd definitely be the part where we would need to miniaturize most of our graphics processing units. And specifically for the HoloLens, they've built their own holographic processing unit. And this allows specifically for augmented reality to allow the computing and the 3D graphics to be better. But we definitely need to improve on not having our headsets connected to our PC and being dependent on our PCs, because this allows for less freedom when we're using VR and we can't really move away from the computer when we're doing your experience. And that's really something that limits you when you're using VR, and that's a reason why people don't use VR, because there's the cost of the expensive PC and the headset, and this adds up and people don't know why they would spend so much money for not that good of a quality of an experience.
So in TKS, we talk a lot about exponential technologies and, you know, this area of X reality, whether it's augmented or virtual reality, is definitely one of those exponential technologies. With exponential technologies comes a exponential decrease in cost. When we talk about the Human Genome Project, at one point we spent $3 billion trying to sequence a human genome, and now it's down to $1,000, and in the next few years, it'll be about $100. With augmented reality, are we seeing the same trend? What's kind of the prices right now? Where do you think it might end up with in, you know, 5 to 10 years?
Yeah, so the prices right now are very quickly falling. Last year when I got started with virtual reality and like augmented reality, the Oculus Rift and the HTC Vive, with taxes, they were around $1,000, and then you need to spend money on the computer that would run the VR headset. Now the Oculus has come down to $500, which is a huge difference compared to how it was before. And the HTC Vive has dropped its price as well. And they're also coming out with more headsets that aren't relying on a computer or a mobile. It's just a standalone headset. And these can be seen being done by Oculus. And they're coming out with their Oculus Go, which a lot of people are excited for because it's not dependent on any other device they have. And there are pros and cons to this because most people have mobile devices. So that's kind of a pro point for most people where they'd want to buy a headset, versus the Oculus Go would be completely standalone. So you would spend money on the headset just to use VR.
I think a lot of viewers or listeners, and even myself, don't own a augmented reality device or virtual reality device, you know, unless it's your phone, which I could play Pokemon Go or Snapchat or whatever, yeah. And that's basically augmented reality. But it's interesting that's not mainstream. What are some reasons why you think AR and VR haven't really hit mainstream yet?
So it's mostly because of the quality of the experience and the cost. So for example, the HoloLens, which is the only real augmented reality device that's been experimented with, and a lot of people have built applications on it. And the hard part is that it's $3,000, and that's the price. And the quality of the experience you get for those that $3,000 is just not enough for a consumer to buy it. Versus if you were to buy a MacBook that was $3,000, you would get so much more value out of it. So the real problem right now is the price point. And for example, with the HoloLens, you would think when you get a HoloLens, you'd be able to experience augmented reality throughout your environment. But the hard part is it only has a limited field of view, meaning the augmented reality only works right in front of you, meaning in your peripheral vision, it doesn't work at all. So this just reduces the quality of the experience. It's obviously unbelievable when you see it for your first time that it's right on your table and it's right there. But as you use it more and more often, it becomes something that holds back your experience, and you're not able to use it as at a good amount of quality like you would use your laptop.
What do you think about the value of the content that's built on augmented and virtual reality? Like, are people mostly using it for gaming, or are there actually real business world applications? What have you been seeing so far?
So with headset VR and AR, it's almost everything is for gaming right now, as that's the only industry that they can approach and get people to use VR for. Because even in the future, VR is mostly going to be for entertainment and gaming, because it's not as applicable for your real life other than in gaming and entertainment. AR has a completely different, AR provides a completely different experience, meaning it's adding things to your environment. So it could completely get rid of laptops and computers, and it can replace it with augmented reality glasses or contact lenses. Even though that's a bit futuristic, it's definitely going to come at some point. And that would completely make laptops and computers obsolete and would bring augmented reality to the forefront. Right now, ARKit and ARCore are the only existing platforms that people are really using, and they're able to use it on their mobile phones. ARCore and ARKit is an augmented reality platform for mobile devices, and this allows for people to experience augmented reality right through their phone. This type of experience does not require a headset, and that's why people really like using this. And Pokemon Go and Snapchat have started making their experiences more interactive and just higher quality with ARKit and ARCore. So this is where people are really seeing the benefits of AR. And soon people will, soon companies will come out with headsets that are cheaper. And right now the only ones that really exist are the HoloLens, the Meta, and Avingent is coming out with another headset soon. And really right now the mobile AR is the technology that is most used by consumers, and this is where they're being exposed to AR. But in the future, I'm excited to see AR headsets to become a everyday part of human life.
So I know one thing that really kickstarted your journey was when Microsoft actually agreed to sponsor you to develop on the HoloLens and give you mentorship. Can you talk a little bit about how Microsoft kind of supported your initial journey in augmented reality?
So when I first got into augmented reality, my first step was to look at the HoloLens, except I really wanted to get really into the development and actually using it right away. So what I did was I reached out to Microsoft, and they heard about me, and they thought it was awesome, and they definitely wanted to sponsor me. And they provided me with hardware and mentorship to let me build experiences for the HoloLens and just grow myself in the VR and AR space.
That's awesome. I want to talk a little bit about how you learned so much about AR and VR in such a short amount of time. I mean, if we think about these types of exponential technologies and industries, they're relatively new. And so there aren't really many experts in the field because the field hasn't been around for that long. So in just a year, you know, you probably have the same amount, if not more information than most people working in the space. How did you get to that stage? What kind of tools did you use and resources?
So the major tool that really boosted my learning was Udacity. And Udacity is really good with providing courses and lessons on all these exponential technologies like artificial intelligence, VR, AR, self-driving cars. And they really do it well. And this really helped me to push my knowledge in the virtual reality and augmented reality space. And it helped me to start developing applications. And it's allowing me to work on my own projects now. And Udacity really does a good job of it with their videos, projects, quizzes, and it's really helpful and it provides a good learning experience, and that's what's brought me to this point. And another thing that really helped me was setting up meetings and just building connections, going to these conferences, and it really helped me learn about new people's perspectives and what they thought about VR and AR. And another thing is there's the internet, and this, like, virtual and augmented reality, if you think about it, is already past its inflection point, as there are already so many headsets out there, and people are actually starting to adopt this technology in their own homes, even though it's not as at the level that people want it to be at. But seeing these technologies and experiencing them, like, it's just experiencing virtual reality has allowed me to learn about the physics and how virtual reality actually works and optimizing it.
Tell us a little bit about some of the projects that you've been working on and how you built it.
Yeah, okay. So first, when I started virtual reality and augmented reality, I just first built like a few 1-minute games. And this just allowed me to learn more about building experiences for VR. And then I built my first experience for the HoloLens, which was a great experience as it finally got me to learn how augmented reality actually works, how spatial sound and how all these technologies in the HoloLens works. And I built this game called Find and Fire. And this game was a simple game where it's based on reaction time. And in augmented reality, you would tap these objects in the HoloLens, and based on your reaction time, it would award you points. So it was just a cool experience to build it and learn more about augmented reality. Right now, I'm working on a much bigger project called Waypoint AR, and this is a navigation platform for indoor locations, and it makes it more intuitive with augmented reality. So how it works is, inside an indoor location, if there's point A and point B, and these are two different rooms, it would guide you to these rooms using waypoints, and this allows for your experience in indoor locations and navigating to be better.
So I want to talk about Waypoint AR a little bit more. So you're working on Waypoint AR with another student in TKS, Gaurav, and you've gotten some traction already. I know the Teal Fellowship is one sponsor for you in this project. Can you tell us about some of the value the Teal Fellowship added for you and what it helped you unlock and how that kind of accelerated your growth?
So the Teal Fellowship, first of all, provided us with a lot of validation on how much impact our project could really have on the world. And also they provided us with the resources to go out, buy the hardware and get started on our project. And that really boosted us and helped us to start developing our application and actually building a proof of concept and eventually a minimum viable product.
Cool. What are some of your biggest struggles right now building something like Waypoint AR since there isn't a product like this on the market?
So my biggest problem right now is ARKit and ARCore are at their really early stages, and they've just been released a few months ago. So with the AR platform itself, there are tons of problems, and mitigating these problems and going past them is a difficulty itself. For example, if you were building something for a laptop instead, there's so much infrastructure that exists that allows you to build applications on laptops much easier. But on AR, there's not very much support online, and this makes me have to go out, problem solve, talk to experts, and get advice from them. And just, it gives me a good experience by connecting with developers and going and talking to them and solving these problems, learning more about AR. And it also helps me learn more about building connections, setting up meetings, and these are all important skills throughout my life, and I'm just 14. I have a lot more of time in my life, and these are good skills for me to learn at this point.
So in 10 years from now, you will just have finished university and kind of be in the real world, which is crazy to think about. How do you think that world will look with augmented and virtual reality being, you know, developed a little bit further?
So in that world, I think laptops, PCs, mobile devices, they'll all be completely obsolete. Everyone will be using augmented reality as their computational devices. And I strongly believe this because augmented reality provides a better experience for all users just because of how it's in your real world. For example, if I'm building a list, a grocery list, and I just want it on my refrigerator, but every time I make the list, I just forget. And then what augmented reality can do for you now is it can place things in your environment and make your computer part of your environment. So it won't allow you for you to miss anything, and it'll just make the entire experience more intuitive. And in the future, I don't see huge headsets being worn. I think glasses and contact lenses will be integrated, and brain-machine interfaces and haptic feedback will have a huge impact on these experiences. And I think brain-machine interfaces will have a huge impact just because of, right now, it's just weird to stretch out your arms and interact with the AR environment. But in the future, this might change as well, and just the human culture might change. But I think BMIs will be very important. And I also think haptic feedback will be important because right now, augmented and virtual reality, you can see the experience, but when you try to touch something, you just go through it. So then the reality, the immersiveness of the experience completely goes away, and haptic feedback will add to this and will allow for these experiences to be more immersive.
So just for those who don't know what haptic feedback is, it is a reaction from a certain action. So if you have a virtual computer and you start typing on it, you will feel the keys with haptic feedback, even though no computer's there. So that's a really interesting technology that's being developed that will definitely accelerate the mixed reality, whether it's augmented or virtual reality space. And brain-machine interfacing is using your thoughts to control other machines or the environment around you in a virtual world. So yes, I agree. Those are definitely two really, really big areas. For those people who are interested in getting into virtual and augmented reality, what advice would you give for them?
So I think right now is the best time to get into virtual and augmented reality because it's at like the point where it's going to go crazy in the next 2 years because of where it's at, how the technology is being developed, and because it's an exponential technology and it's just skyrocketing right now. And I think the best way would to use platforms like Udacity because they're perfect for you to learn more about VR development, AR kit development, and they'll really boost your growth inside the space. And There's so many experts in the space who are willing to talk to you, and they're always looking for new opportunities to talk to people. So I would definitely say talking to people is very important in this space, because there are very few experts, and if you can connect yourself with these experts, you have an advantage, and you'll be able to learn more from them as well. And following on that with that is building mentorship, and mentorship is really important in this space as well, because you'll always need advice because it's such a new space, and you'll always want to learn more about AR user experience and building products for VR and VR sickness and nausea, and you'll always want to learn more about these, and mentors are very important for this.
All right, awesome. Thank you so much, Sabris, for joining us.
Thanks, Navid. It was awesome.